You didn't just throw in some random crow sound effects at the end there.
Yeah, I could do. I could have done that. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity there. Hello there. Welcome to Odyssey Geek. This is episode number 26, and this is your host, Austin. Today, I am very happy to have two new guest hosts on the show, and those people are Benjamin and Bethany Burnett. Welcome.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi.
Nice to be on.
It's good to have you both here. Yes, they both have the same last name. That's because they are a husband and wife. So let everybody know that. And you two are actually fairly new Odyssey fans.
Yep.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about your experience listening to Odyssey?
I'm older in my Odyssey listening experience than Bethany is. but it was probably 3 or 4. I had heard like a couple episodes 3 or 4 years ago. I had heard a couple of episodes growing up, but didn't listen to it avidly. And then my brother-in-law introduced me to it, and then I had another friend who had it, and that's when I like did the binge listen through all like 900 and some odd episodes that they had at that point, and got caught up on everything. And then I've re-listened to that just about probably again almost. I skipped a few episodes here and there, and then obviously some of the favorites on and off throughout the rest of the last couple of years. So
I grew up familiar with Odyssey, but my family only had like the HSLDA compilation of like the American history episodes. So I had like, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes that I grew up listening to. So until last year, that was basically my extent of Odyssey experience. So last year, Finch introduced me to the world of Odyssey, and I started listening start to finish on the club, and I finished, I think it was sometime this year. I don't remember when, but within probably like 6 months, I listened to the entire Odyssey start to finish.
Nice.
It was a lot.
That's a good perk of getting married, right?
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And the club's really helpful to listen to all those episodes because you take a long time to collect all the albums.
The only downside is that some of the episodes and characters run together when you're listening that back to back, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. Especially when some of the characters have similar voices. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, today I have Benjamin and Bethany on the podcast because we are going to do a numbered ranked list like I've done in the past with other guests. And today we are going to be talking about a very serious subject. What is the top 5 funniest episodes of Adventures in Odyssey? Okay, not quite so serious, but some people are very serious about humor.
This is true.
I'm not, but we're here to discuss which episodes. I'm not sure what your old criteria was for funniest episode. For me, these are episodes that fairly consistently make me laugh, or I have good memories of, you know, laughing, listening to it for the very first time. And as the years have gone by, there's some moments in it that stick with me, or some very quotable moments, things like that. And that's basically how I got my list.
It was similar for me. I was having a hard time. Like, this is turning into kind of like favorite episodes that I laugh at also. And then I was like, well, but it needed me to make sure that it's comedy. So I tried to be a little more like what's actually genuinely funny. Some of them are hard too, because there's funny characters in lots of episodes, but the episode may not necessarily be a comedy episode. So I was just trying to like navigate that a little bit too.
Yeah, I don't think I had anything different. It's kind of, yeah, some of those that made me laugh almost like all the way through, or there was like, it wasn't like, oh, there's one funny scene, but more consistently through the entire episode, there was funny bits.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. All right, Benjamin, let's go ahead and start with you. What's number 5 on your list?
Number 5 is Your Honest Opinion, Please.
Ooh, nice. I did not expect that one.
I'm a sucker for anything Wooten and Penny, so it may... Actually, it doesn't necessarily reoccur a whole ton, but they're definitely some of the funniest characters, and the whole clown bit.
Yes, that's like the best scene
that they have going through that whole thing. Oh, cracks me up the whole time. Plus, it's a really great episode. I love the like moral of the story as well as the humor throughout the whole thing.
It's a very quoted episode here.
It's time to cut the cake.
Yeah, actually, for those listening, if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to the bonus I had on the podcast feed. I did a a third Try Not to Laugh Odyssey compilation, and that clown scene is one of the scenes in that compilation that I made.
Yes.
So I'm guessing maybe one aspect of the episode that you probably liked quite a bit was the noise-canceling headphones scene. Like, was that, you're probably thinking like, oh, is that realistic enough? I wonder which headphones she's getting.
Right. Yeah. I forgot. I was thinking of Wooten and Penny, and I forgot the other hilariousness that happens with Connie and the fellow art student. Stinky Tofu Ludafisk.
And was it like the screaming banjos or something
yes.
like that?
Screamo banjo music.
I think that's probably the only instance of Ludafisk in an audio drama that I'm aware of.
Anyway. Yeah, I think it's the first time in Odyssey. I know we've had Ludwig, but not Ludafisk. However you say that word. All right, Bethany, what's number five on your list?
Number five is All by Myself.
Okay,
so,
wow.
Also Wooten and Penny. I didn't realize your five was going to be Wooten and Penny. But again, yeah, anything Wooten and Penny is a hit. There are a couple of my favorite characters, so that helps. There's just so many things with Wooten getting sick and all that. It's very funny.
Yeah, that one, it's not, I know it's kind of considered a Christmas episode, but I don't really count it as such. But it's, I think, the episode that gives Jess Harnell, like, free reign to do, like, all of his crazy, wacky stuff with Wooten.
Yes.
And I think Marshall Younger, who wrote that episode, I think he wrote it, like, with Jess in mind, and I think he probably gave him, like, kind of a playground, I guess, of stuff for Wooten to do, and all these different ranges of emotions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very fun episode and funny episode. What was Praying Mantis' name? Was it Wilbur or Wilson? Not Wilson.
I was trying to. It's
Walter.
Walter. Yes.
Oh, poor Walter.
Yeah.
Even Penny's, like, whenever she's singing, I love the music in that episode and how they, like, it's Christmassy, but then they have the, like, I can't remember the name of the song. The fall.
She sings
on my
the Holy
knees,
Night.
Whenever, yeah, yeah. She's just like belting it out, but the way it's mixed in, oh. It cracks me up every time.
And then when she's shivering, you hear that, you know, like, oh, holy night, stars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And it's kind of funny, I'm kind of sad, but that episode is actually probably very relatable for a lot of people yeah. over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With, you know, being isolated at home. Yeah, good choice. All right, so number five on my list is The Lone Lawman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this episode, I'm kind of beating myself over it that I did not put this on my top 10 underrated list. If I ever do another underrated list, I'll probably add this to it. But this episode, I don't think I hear anybody talking about it. And when I first heard it, I loved it. I still love it to this day. It's one of the most, I think from that season, from the club, it's probably my most listened to episode possibly. It's just so much fun. I love the comedic element of, like, doing kind of like a live radio drama, like doing the sound effects. You know, Wooten keeps messing up with the sound effects. And it's so cool, like, because the episode of The Lone Lawman is kind of like a spoof or parody of The Lone Ranger.
Right.
And at some point you hear, like, the William Tell Overture, which is like the Lone Ranger theme song. Like, yeah. Oh, no, that's not it. really cool nod there. And also a really good use of Red Hollard. I know a lot of people don't like him. I do. I think he works great in this episode.
Yeah.
I love his line at the end because I think Wooten's really tired and everything, and Red says something like, or some, I think someone said, oh, let's do a radio drama without sound. I said, a silent radio drama? That sounds innovative.
Make it easier in some
okay.
ways.
Yeah. Just, you know, 1 hour of silence.
And the bit they keep doing with the horse whenever it's like,
yeah, down, thunder. Yeah, and also Wooten playing the old timer and hit, like, his really verbose vocabulary, like, almost
yes.
even more intense than Eugene. I guess more like colloquial. I guess he uses a lot more colloquialisms
right.
than Eugene does.
It's like Bernard on, like, Hyper Bernard or something, where it's just like everything is colloquial speech.
Yeah. Yeah, between yay and high grass. Yeah, that episode, it cracks me up. I love, like, just the, you know, creating the radio drama element and the fourth wall breaking and that kind of stuff is, it's just so much fun. You get to hear the actors have a lot of fun with that. And hearing Brian, we only hear Brian in, like, three episodes, which we would have heard in more episodes, which The actor for Brian in that episode actually played Plaque in Candle in the Window from Lamplighter Theater.
Oh, wow.
Which I had heard him in that story first before this. So it was, I really liked his voice. I really liked his acting. So it was fun to have him on Odyssey for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, back to you. What's number four?
Number four is Do or Diet.
Ooh, nice. I figured that would probably come up at some point.
I mean, again, Wooten is there. But then you also have Bernard. And then Wit's even hilarious in that one. And yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I had so many on my list, I had to start scratching some that I still really like, and that was one that I didn't make on my list, but I really like that one too. Connie tried so hard.
So I know there's a lot of quotable moments in that. Is there like a favorite quote from that episode?
I don't know that I actually have one. It's been a while since I've heard it. I was just remembering it and being like, oh, I know that's one that cracks me up every time I do listen to it. So I don't remember a specific quote. It's, yeah, just all the bits of like trying to steal the brownie and then the fact that they actually ran to chase each other for the brownie. And you just, it's just so good.
Yeah. All right, Bethany, your turn.
Number four on mine is The Way of the Comic Book.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually really surprising.
I don't remember that one.
I'll comment about this, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So that's the one where Jay is trying to give Buddy advice on running a comic book, and then Wooten steps in and starts, like, teaching Buddy.
Okay, yeah.
So it's got Jay and Wooten, which are just hilarious on their own, but it's got some heart, too, with Wooten taking kind of the mentor role for Buddy, and so it's kind of a combination of, like, it's sweet but also hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, most people I've heard from on that episode, like, it's a fairly new episode. It came out this year, I think, in the club. But I know a lot of people don't like Buddy. I really like Buddy. Longtime guest host Michael O'Favor on the show likes Buddy. But that episode, I think, it's kind of almost like a chaotic comedy to a certain extent. You have, like, the real-life situations. You have, like, the imaginings that, like, Buddy has. You have, like, the kids' radio stuff happening. And you have the kind of, hyper... Or it's like kind of like I guess comic book like or whatever, like, you know, the way the comic book, like the way Wooten talks and that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's the sound effects are for that. It's like real life, but it's almost like an imagination kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if many people find that maybe too chaotic, but for me, yeah, like I laughed quite a bit listening to that episode. Yeah, a great use of Wooten in that episode. It's also cool to hear Captain Absolutely again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was always funny how Wooten, like, doing all these things or having Buddy do all these things as if they're, like, teaching moments, but really he's just, like, basically having him do his work for him.
Yeah, I like the part, you know, like, you like draw his face real fast, like, in under, like, 10 seconds or whatever. Like, oh, third eye, good choice or something like that. or bold choice. That's really surprising. I was not expecting that one, but, yeah, good choice.
I wasn't either until I re-listened to it, and then, like, yeah, this has got to be on there.
Okay, so number four for me is actually one of yours that you've talked about, Ben, is Do or Diet.
Nice.
So this one had to be on the list somewhere, because back in the day when this first came out, I recorded it on a cassette tape, and we listened to it quite a bit. And one of the most quotable lines, I think, that myself and some friends and family have quoted, you know, bye bye brownie, when, you know, Wooten and Bernard are like tossing that brownie into the lake.
Yeah.
And also, I think... because some of, like, the different pairings of characters are just really great. Like, in modern times now, like, Buddy and Jay is a great combination.
Mm-hmm.
Great foils for each other. And Bernard and Wooten are great together. So, like, in I think their first episode they were in together was in, I think, Basset Hounds, which was basically those two characters only that we know. And a little bit MBTV behind the scenes in that album. But this episode really takes it to a new level. And they're just the perfect foils for each other. Bernard's actually kind of, I don't know, he's almost like the devil on the shoulder, and Wooten's kind of like the angel on the shoulder or some kind of. Like Wooten's like the voice of reason here, and Bernard's like, oh, like, I don't want to do this. When you think that it'd probably be Bernard, if it was a different situation, if it wasn't dieting, I'm wondering if Bernard would probably be more of the voice of reason than Wooten. So I guess, like, he's trying to drag him down with, like, oh, come on, we don't have to eat this healthy and all that stuff. Another quotable line my mom uses quite a bit. It's like, you could, you can do it, or something like that, from Rookie McLean. Like, he spells out all those words.
Oh, because he's doing the spelling bee.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's why. He had a traumatic experience in a spelling bee as a kid.
Yeah.
But also, One of the funniest bits is, you know, Wooten and all these things lose weight without actually losing weight. Like, you know, like, isn't it true you can survive with one kidney? Like, you know, like, did you try blowing your nose? Like, I clipped my toenails.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really, really great stuff. It's one of Kathy Buchanan's early, like, full-on comedic episodes. Okay. And one, I think that's, again, like I said, it's a classic episode. Not just a great comedic episode, just a great episode overall.
Yeah.
And it's a great twist at the end. Like, you don't expect Wit to be the one that, you know, wouldn't come through on that. Okay, back to you, Ben. What's number three?
Number three is Switch.
Nice.
Which is, the Washingtons in switching parental and kid roles, which is just a great premise. And, everything that comes along with that. All of Mr. Whitaker's, like, different characters he pulls out to play, like, the electrician and the landlord. And, like, oh, yeah, so fun.
Yeah. Was that something that you wished as a kid that you'd be able to do with your parents?
I think it would be actually pretty fun to do. Like, I think it would be a helpful learning and humorous learning experience for kids to get to go through that for a short amount of time. Maybe not to the extent that the Washingtons did. I don't know if we're going to the store and replacing switching roles, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, my family is pretty pretty outgoing. So sometimes when we go out to eat or go to the store or something like that, some of us are goofing off that. People might think that we might be switching roles. Yeah, good choice. Okay, Bethany, you're next.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. My number three is Sunday Morning Scramble, also with the Washingtons.
Good choice.
Yeah, that one is the Washingtons and everything with Bart's interactions with them and everything. And just, it's so, like, I feel like on some level it's relatable for families and just how hectic the Sunday morning turns into and everybody wants it to be perfect and it goes, like, horribly wrong and then Bart shows up and then it goes even worse and... Yeah, he's got to complicate everything. Yeah, that one's just overall a funny episode all the way through.
Yeah, I don't know why. I never even thought of that episode for this list, and I love that episode.
So it turns out Bart used the toothbrush, and they, like, are freaking out. I mean...
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. That's, like, the worst thing he does. Yeah, that's a great episode. Sometimes I play, like, you know, on the days or the day after Daylight Saving Times ends or begins or whatever, I'll play that episode.
Nice.
Well, as a planner, that might be one of the most stressful parts of the episode is when they all, like, turns out they set the clocks ahead, so, like, they're actually on time, and then it turns out Bart reset it and is like, yeah. That, no.
That's a roller coaster right there.
Yes.
So that episode, did something like that ever happen? Like, you know, forgetting to change clocks back or anything like that when you were kids?
I don't remember it ever happening. I do remember people showing up to church an hour early or missing church, but that's the closest I ever remember. It never happened to us.
Yeah. It's a relatable title, too. Like, not just for the episode, but, you know, some families, especially, like, really big families, it may be a hard time to get everybody ready for church and out the door and all that. And I love the episode. Like, it's very comedic overall, and it ends with a good message, but doesn't feel like it's necessarily tacked on. It's very, like, you don't see it coming very much. Like, oh, this is, you know, funny experience. And you feel like, oh, that's right. We should be focusing on that more. It's a great use of Tom there. Great message there. And it, you know, it turns out good. And I would have to say probably the funniest scene is probably, like, the... I guess after credits scene, which you don't get any of those on Odyssey. Like, Chris does something, then it goes to Bart, then it's back to the credits, and then when the credits end, the music ends, it's back to Bart, which I guess Switch kind of does that too. We got that scene with Marvin and Whit at the counter, like Marvin trying to
Whit. Sure. I didn't remember that part. That's great.
And I think what's really funny, if I remember right, Walker Edmiston, I think the scene with him, like, by himself at the house. If I'm not mistaken, I think he ad-libbed all of that.
Wow.
If not most of it.
Wow.
And it's super cool. Like, again, like the sound effects too. Like, when he's, like, trying to stick his head under, like, the sink with the dishes in there, and you hear the dishes rattle, and then he's, like, gargling sound that he has when he swallows a fish. Like, that's so much fun. So I'm not sure if he actually, like, you know, drank some water and did that, or they just added that sound effect, like, add frequency or something like that to the voice
really
in post-production. Because I remember for, like, the episode Wooing Wooten, where Wooten sings, like, underwater, like, one of the pool boy songs, and I think the director or something said, hey, we can get you a bowl of water if you want to use it, and, like, Jesse like, oh no, I can do it myself, and he did it. And oh, wow. I think they added some like water sound effects maybe, right, with that. But yeah, he did that gargling sound with his voice, wow, just naturally.
That's crazy.
Good choice. I can't believe I didn't think about that, so I'm glad you brought it up, Bethany. All right, so number three on my list is Please Adjust Your Frequency.
Ooh.
This is the episode where Buddy, Jay, and Zoe are doing that Ready to Draw My First School project.
Yes.
And this episode, close to like the top of my list here, are episodes that when I first heard it, I was like laughing so much throughout the episodes. Like, there's some episodes like I laugh here and there, but like listen to these for the first time and like listening with someone else, it's just comedy gold. It's so awesome. One of the cool aspects is, you know, the unheard kind of person, Vincent, who's running the sound effects,
right,
and he's having like fun with like that crow sound. I love it when they like they visit Damsel's dad's house or grandpa's house and all the sound effects, you know, oops, stepped on the kitty, and then,
yeah.
I've been meaning to break that, and then excuse my cow. it's just a lot of fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Jay calls out his jukebox of voices. Whit Hertford is so awesome with these different voices. Like, yeah, it's his voice, but it's, you can hear it's like Jay's personality coming through.
Yeah.
Very realistic ads they have for Smell's Miracle Water. Like, it sounds like it's an ad, really. At the beginning, like, he's like really excited about it, and it's downward spiral, like, blah, 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 like, drink it today or something like that. Probably my favorite part is, you know, it may look like tap water, it may smell like tap water, it may even be tap water.
Right.
Or something to that effect. Which, who knows? Most of our water bottles may be tap water. Who knows?
Need all the disclaimers.
I have a comment about Jay in comedy episodes, but I'll save it till we get to honorable mentions.
Okay. But yeah, and also some of the crow too. I like it when Chris can, you know, interact with other characters and that kind of stuff. Get out of this, the normal just by the numbers kind of thing. So you have, yeah, that when she says Jonathan Crow, you're the crow come in and like, hey, can somebody get this crow out of here? Yeah, it's a really good episode. I think it's also a really cool episode in one respect, because it's, I think, the episode of Odyssey that has the least amount of cast members.
Mm.
There's only three, which is,
yeah,
the actors for Jay, Zoe, and Buddy. And I think that episode was also recorded remotely, so that story really, it was probably built for that setup. And it works great. And I mentioned this in my review of that album, but I was actually listening to this episode around the time I was actually working on a radio drama for a school project, and it was also a detective show.
Nice.
So listening to this was kind of fun. Like, oh yeah, I can kind of, well, I guess not really relate, but yeah, this is kind of fun. Like, they're doing the same thing I am.
Oh yeah.
Although I wasn't doing it live.
Did you get any inspiration or anything from it?
I believe I had already written all of it by that point.
Oh, okay.
I think at that point I was probably like maybe like editing, like me like doing a proof edit or something like that. I think I might have had some recorded. I'd have to look at my timeline of events on that, but I'm pretty certain I had the script mostly concrete, or if not all done by that time. By that point,
you didn't just throw in some random crow sound effects at the end there.
Yeah, I could have done that. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity there. Yeah, it's a really good episode. Like, the people that I know that like Jay or like Buddy, they like these episodes. But again, I think this is going to be an episode that will be very underrated, that people won't talk much about. But
those that know.
Exactly. All right, we're getting near the end of our list. Benjamin, what's number two on your list?
Number two is The New Olivia.
Wow. I was looking at the list of chronological episodes, and I looked over that like, yeah, that's a pretty good episode. But I didn't think it would be on anybody's list. Tell me more.
Yeah, it's probably one of my all-time favorite episodes. It's just so hilarious. The actress does, I forget her name, who plays her.
Kelly Stables.
Kelly Stables, yeah. When actors can do voices, but in other like an actual character's voice is one thing too, which is super fun. And then just the predicament she gets herself into. Again, good moral at the end of the story. And like, I like how the mom handles the whole situation. And all the little things she tries to come up with through the whole thing. And it just cracks me up every time.
I think that's a very underrated episode.
Yeah.
And it's not one I listen to very much, but I know there one line that does stick in my mind was when she's finally talks to her mom about it. Like, she says, I'm Southern British.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just so funny, like, hearing her, like, do the different accents for different people afterwards, it's kind of not quite cringy.
Oh, it is.
I mean, she does it well. Right. It's just I'm cringy, like, oh, Olivia, you know better than that.
It's the cringy and the like social awkwardness aspect where I'm just like, oh, I'm embarrassed for her.
But the thing is, people don't realize it at first. I think one of the ladies does, like, oh yeah, that accent was terrible or something like that. But right. The rest of them don't sound like they really caught on. But you know, us, as we know her so well, yeah.
She's so confident too, like. Watching the video on the British person and like repeats it in not a great way, and she's just like, I'm so good.
This will never come back to bite me.
When you graduate from high school, Olivia, don't become a voice actor. At least go to college and become a voice actor.
Right.
Yeah. They should have her on Kids Radio if she can do all those voices.
Yeah.
I don't think she's been on that Kids Radio episode. Okay, so what's number two for you, Bethany?
My number two is Poor Loser.
Nice.
With Eugene and Bernard's chess game where he cannot figure out why Bernard keeps beating him. And he keeps getting frustrated and frustrated, and it escalates to where he's calling the queen Queenie and then catching himself. And it's, one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a very classic episode, and this is one of those great episodes, like Roommates and like Food for Thought. Where, you know, it's so much fun. Those characters, they just clash so much.
Yes.
I was thinking about this. It's kind of like License to Drive, where, you know, Connie knows something that Eugene doesn't. And Eugene's having to deal with, I don't know this. I have to have someone else teach me something to that effect. And, like, no, he beat me at chess. This is like a mind game. And he doesn't have a better mind than me. Does he?
And then he starts recording it to watch it back, and then Bernard is like very aware and starts singing.
I turned the volume down.
Yeah, he starts singing My Darling Clementine.
Yes. The frustration.
And that's the part people remember the most. I mean, what about the B plot story with the volleyball stuff? I know that's probably not quite as comedic, but was there any funny aspects of that part that you liked?
I liked her, like, not on a comedy side, but I did like her, like, journey through that part where she, like, figured out that she wasn't, like, the problem, but she needed to step back and let others take their place and figure out who they were on the team and everything. So I did like it. It's not my favorite. My favorite part of the episode is, you know, the Eugene and Bernard part. But that is a good subplot.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. But my favorite line from that storyline is, I think Heather says, you know, to the coach, I'm your best player. And he says, sit, best player.
I think more players need to hear that.
Yeah. And I think after that, he says, you know, when I first got here, I was the coach. And if I'm understanding right, I'm still the coach or something to that effect.
Yes.
So, yeah, Will Ryan gets a lot of funny lines in that episode because he plays the coach in that episode as well as Eugene. Yeah, good choice. All right, so number two for me is BTV Idolatry.
Mm.
So this is an episode I was so excited to hear, and I was so bummed that they pushed it to, like, the next year. It's supposed to come out, I think it was December of 2019 or 18, I think, and they pushed it into, like, the next year. And I think they did that because I think around the same time BTV Trinity came out, and I'm 66. And I think that was around the same time, so maybe they did that so they have more space in between those kind of episodes, maybe. But it was worth the wait. This episode, I like most BTV episodes. I'm not a super big fan of them. And, you know, the episodes without Bernard in them aren't as good as some of the other ones. But even some of the ones with Bernard, I didn't care that much for, like BTV Forgiveness. I don't like BTV Envy. But this episode, I think, is the best Bernard-less BTV. I'll mention one thing that stood out, but the main thing is Imagining Guy, but the Apple parody for the idol was so hilarious, and like ending with, oh, like, does it have three cameras? No, it has four.
Feels very relevant.
But yeah, the Imagining Guy sequel, Gifts for Imagining Guy, is, I think, it's one of my favorite Christmas episodes. Like, it's like my top three, I think. It's been a while. I did a top 10 favorite Christmas episode list. Listeners, you can go back and hear that if you want. But it's near the top of my list. That episode, our family have quoted so many times. Sometimes we quote almost the entire story that Whit tells. But it was so much fun. We had the same actors. We have a different actor for Ethel because the person that played her passed away. So we have Kaylee playing her. You know, Walker Edmondson's not around, but they have a different character who plays his son, Jay, in that. But it's so much fun. I love the recap they have of it for people that hadn't heard it before. And you have all these throwback jokes, like, you know, how, like, Ethel's, like, their porch. And you hear that, oh, she's still their porch. Yes. And then you find that, oh, she's going to be a second-story balcony now. And, like, don't think about it too much. And then, like, Guy is, like, the doormat at a retail store. And also the continuing the joke, like, oh, we don't have this. We sold this to pay this bill. And they don't have any glasses. I can't remember what they sold it for. But, like, you know, Ethel, how'd you feel about drinking out of a hat? And she brings it in. And like, I hope you're thirsty. All we have is 10-gallon hats. It's just... Listen to this episode, I think I had pretty much like a almost constant smile on my face, and I was laughing like almost at every other line. It's not the same writer that wrote the original story, Sam Sexieri wrote that episode, but he captured the magic and the comedy gold from the original, and it's a sequel that is as good and maybe possibly better. I mean, it doesn't have all the nostalgia factored into it, and it's not, you know, tied to Christmas, but it's just as good. If not better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be hard to write an episode, like a comedy episode, that keeps you laughing through the whole thing and doesn't have, like, those slumps in the middle. And that's talent.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you don't have any breaks, like, for hardly anything except for, like, you know, the sweetness at the end where, like, you know, oh, all I really wanted was you, Guy. And I love the acoustics. That's one thing I forgot to mention, like the acoustics, and you hear like Madge's voice echo and he thinks she's gone and she's actually in the other room. It's great echoing effect in there. But yeah. All right. So here we go. Number one. What's your choice, Ben?
Yeah. So number one, it's actually already been on someone else's list and it's Poor Loser.
All right.
Probably because we have listened to it semi-recently, and so it's like more fresh in the mind, but it just, yeah, cracks me up the whole time. Poor Eugene's just mental breakdown the whole time. And like, when they go to his apartment or house, he's just like doesn't know when he's done anything at all ever. The whole, like, I can't remember what Bernard, he's like, I think he moved his piece just to make the word letter M or something like that. Just, oh man, yeah.
I've definitely never done that.
Yeah, I don't know how to play chess, so I don't think I'd be able to do that very well.
You don't know how to play chess?
Or at least not win and do it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If you can do it while winning, then all more power to you.
Honestly, the pieces move in so many different ways. Like, that would actually take some talent to make an M.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also a great opportunity for Will Ryan to just go crazy with Eugene's character, like his, you know, his wah!
Yeah.
Like that are just hilarious.
Yes.
Or like when like he ends sentences with prepositions. Okay, Bethany, what's number one?
My number one comedic episode is A Victim of Circumstance.
I don't think I ever thought about that one. But yeah, it's a really good choice.
I mean, the whole character of Mr. Weasel, Wizzle is just
perfect. You did a play on that.
It just keeps coming back. I love that they made it a theme. It was just so great. Rodney, of course, the Rathbones are funny. Oh, yeah. Jason's interactions with everybody was great. It was a good episode. That one's, yeah. I don't know. It might be up near my favorites. I also did listen to it very recently, so that also helps.
Yeah, it's a very funny episode, and it also has that great speech from Jack at the end about, you know, personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ends. It does end on a kind of a downer to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, yeah, they can't keep running with sin the way they used to, which is kind of a sad reality in our world.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you know, why do you have to have warning on coffee, hot coffee, when people know it's hot and things like that? It's just that people take advantage of that, or just, you know, try to blame others for their own irresponsibility. But yeah, it's great, funny lines, you know, adding Bart and Rodney there. Probably my favorite point when they talk about, you know, the lawyer's last name is, you know, where he's hiding under the counter. He says, stop right there. They Weasel. It's awesome.
His journey into the room of consequence, too, to see what his life might be like if he won the case.
He's so skeptical the whole time going in.
I mean, he didn't learn anything, but still.
Yeah. Like, Sue Weasel, that should be a t-shirt.
Yes.
But then you're like, okay, how are we going to spell it? Is it going to be spelled Weasel? Weasel?
Right.
Wiesel?
Yes.
Or do all three. Ooh, I gotta write that down.
Yes.
Oh, I'll listen to this
You
later.
Gotta make it like
write it down.
Bold or capitals to like which part you're emphasizing.
And with like the asterisk for the correct version, so it sounds like it's like correcting them all.
That is a good idea.
The wiki page for that one has the spellings for how they spelled it out.
Oh, do they? Yeah. That's awesome.
You've been listening to this meeting of marketing designers. Thank you for listening. I don't know if marketing designers is an actual thing, but
it is now.
I guess you'll get the point.
Well, Bethany was working on a really good Eugene sticker the other day. We'll see if it comes to fruition or not.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got some work to do on it yet, but it was a fun.
Sounds interesting.
Fun. It's one that I would put on my stuff. So.
Nice. Oh, looking forward to seeing what that is. So, number one for me is Rumpelstiltskin, A Wee Little Tale.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh.
That's good.
So this is one of those other episodes that constantly threw, like, I was laughing pretty much like every single line or every other line. It was kind of surprising that we hear, like, so it's not Fred Holstein, it's Wilhelm Holstein, which is his brother, and I think he's played by the name escapes me. He's the same one that plays Jacques Henri.
Okay.
I think he also plays Archie Hagler, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
And the drill sergeant, I think, from Bible Boot Camp on the Bible Network. He's a terrific, terrific character. And he does sound a lot like Fred Holstein. And on the official podcast, someone had an interview with him, and he said that he didn't want to be a replacement for Kenny Mars that played Fred Holstein, who had passed away some years ago. But I think it works. The one thing is, I wish we would hear him like outside of a kids' radio episode.
Yeah.
Like he's only been in this one and Kafkino. So we need to hear like an actual episode of Odyssey at the bookstore, like some of the kids coming in or waiter someone coming in to get some books. That'd be really
That'd
nice.
That'd be super fun.
But yeah, some great lines from him. And again, Jay is Rumpelstiltskin. That's like Pinocchio was a really great match for his character, but I think this is probably even a better match.
Yeah. He's so good.
And like also I like the guessing game with all the names that he comes up with and she does. I think one of the funniest is Bumpin' Fart and Pickle. Like, well, okay, why don't you just call me Wee Little Man? And then we have like the servant that keeps rhyming all the time, except, like while he's around the king. And then I can't remember the Miller's daughter's name. The character Renee plays. Like when she has her baby, says, you know, his name is Bert, I'll be his mother, and all this stuff. And she keeps repeating that. Yeah. Fun running joke there.
Yeah.
I was wondering how they would, I think, because the fairy tale was a little bit different than like the fairy tale we're used to. So either consciously or subconsciously, I was wondering, like, okay, how is she going to figure out the name? And it's so funny that he has it on a book that she found.
Yes.
Good twist there. And even though, because they have like the explanation at the end. Like, you know, with the moral of it. Yeah, there's little small stuff in there. Like, yeah, I think they probably tried a little bit too hard with that. Like, they probably tried to, like, okay, we have to do something and not just be all this comedy stuff. Like, some fairy tales, it doesn't need to be called out. Like, you kind of look deeper and you find that. But I guess for kids, they want to call it out and, like, a reason for all this stuff. It works to a certain extent, but it feels, in the way they did it, it feels, like, a little bit tacked on. But I don't really care because this episode just... so funny. It gives actors that Gregory Jabbar that plays Wilson, Amy Pemberton that plays Renee, and probably some others like haven't been on Odyssey real long, you know, lets them show off their other voices and skills on Odyssey. And also the music is really fun on this, and I love how it ends with the yodel at the end.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of sequel later, Kafkino. I've reviewed that on the show, and it's not as good as this one. I think it's the one story helps a lot more with the flow of the comedy and all that. But yeah, this one is a great example of great comedy on Odyssey.
Yeah,
that's a good choice.
So we only did the top five. We did make a longer list, and to save time, we just cut it down to five. But if you all want, we can go ahead and. Talk about some of our honorable mentions that didn't quite make the top five.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was bummed. I didn't have any J episodes in my top five comedy, which feels very surprising for me because I love Jay and he's absolutely hilarious. But I feel like he tends to be more like the funny bit throughout a serious story sometimes. Like there's obviously the exceptions where it is a full comedy episode. So I love Jay and I love all of his funny episodes. And I have a few. Walk Worthy is one of them where it's like, it's not really a comedy, but Jay's lines through that whole thing where he's like mumbling the oath and then like they're hiking and it's like, come on, Jay. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you could sweat from there. And it's just like, when I heard those things, it's one of those laugh out loud moments. So that's definitely on my honorable mentions. Yeah, I Slap Floor was another one. There's more bits that are funny of that one, and it's more so like after the fact it's hilarious when you go back and re-listen to it just because it's funny to hear the characters be totally not themselves. So that's definitely on there. All By Myself is also on that one.
Okay, I have a question. Yeah. When you first heard I Slap Floor, what did you think about it? Like, were you thinking, like, this can't be real? Because I'm sure you know about some characters, but the twist at the end that it wasn't Richard and all that, did that surprise you?
I think so. I don't remember because, I mean, I first heard that several years ago and I don't remember what my initial reaction was.
Okay. What about you, Bethany?
I was very confused because I didn't know the characters well enough. So when I heard it, I was like, I didn't know what was real and what was way out of character. I had some ideas, but I didn't quite know. And so now listening to it again, it's way funnier.
I kind of ruined it for her because I played it. We had listened to some Odyssey, but she hadn't, like, she wasn't super familiar with it. And I played that one because it's one of my favorite episodes. And it was like, well, I should have just saved it so she could have experienced it fully. So I take the full blame for that.
I can appreciate it now, though.
Yeah, it's a very, it's kind of like a love letter to the fans, but like, yeah, poking fun at like the different tropes, I guess, or the way people are thinking about the show. Yeah,
the album art for that whole album, but it's from I Slap Floor, is so good, too. It's fun. I also had Between Camp and a Hard Place, both episode 1 and 2. Wooten in that one, just hysterical, like laugh out loud again moments for that one. Grass Is Always Greener on the Other Side, or I can't remember the full episode name. That's relatable, as I grew up in a large family, so there were shenanigans.
So you did move your beds around without your parents knowing?
Yeah. I don't know if we ever did that, but I wouldn't put it past us. And 30 J's Half September is one of the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
On there.
Yeah, that's a really funny one.
Yeah. So good.
So what about you, Bethany? Was there something that didn't quite make the top 5?
Yeah, it was hard. Honestly, I could have had a lot more, but I have 4 honorable mentions from myself. I Slap Floor because, yeah, same reasons. It's just, it's good. License to Drive. It's kind of like Suspicious Minds or Poor Loser. It's just very classic, and it's got, like, the whole Eugene and Connie interactions and clash there. So I like that one. Terror from the Skies, kind of like the Lone Ranger parody, like it's a parody, and so those ones always like have this little extra comedy that if you don't know the original thing, like it's not as funny, but it's just that extra layer that and Jared is great, and yeah, all of that one is pretty funny. And then Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles also made my list.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, Wit under the still under the effects of the anesthesia, yeah. It's just pretty funny.
I'd like to try this tanning bed. That's a glove box. You wouldn't fit. Maybe just my face.
Yeah, poor guy. It's awesome. Yeah, those are my honorable mentions.
Yeah, those are good choices. Yeah, I know some people didn't like how they portrayed Wit in that episode. Mm. They felt like it was, I don't think they thought it was like mean-spirited, but like, yeah, I don't want to hear Wit like that. Like, but I think it's kind of fun. Like, we've heard Eugene kind of like that. We've heard Connie like that. Like, it's about time we had heard Wit like that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Character like that.
They make him a little more human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Terror from the Skies, like you mentioned, Lawrence and Jimmy in that one. Probably my favorite lines is go to that scene, and they're both screaming, and Lawrence says, I want my mom. And then Jimmy says, I want your mom, too.
Yes.
Yes.
And Edwin Blackard's just like annoyance of having to do the ads through the middle of it.
Yeah, like, I'm doing this for the scared pigs.
Has he ever actually produced a play that hasn't gone horribly wrong somehow? I mean,
yeah, that's a good episode. I didn't think too much about that episode, but yeah, that's a really good one.
What about you, Austin?
So this one I just thought of, I didn't think about, but Push the Red Button, the live version. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've heard that yet or seen the video for that. I like it so much better than the studio version because it makes more sense in the live setting. But there are so many funny things, like the fourth wall breaking kind of jokes they have about like Jason's voice being different in the Mortal Coil and things like that. So much fun. I think it works as a live show. It doesn't work as good as like a regular episode of Odyssey, but it, quite funny. Aloha Oi. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit further up the list, I think, but I mean, it is three episodes. Like, there's a lot of comedic moments, but it does end that, you know, very heartwarming ending with, like, Lawrence and his dad. But there are just so many funny moments, like the Barclays and the Rathbones. Like, it's, again, perfect foils for each other. And the scene where Bart walks across the hot coals after telling Ronnie the stupid idea. One of the funniest scenes ever with Bart as a kid. I was listening to that on tape. I thought that was so fun. I'd rewind it right before that happened and listen to it.
I love Rodney's scream in that one whenever he's doing things.
Yeah. And I was like, when he's like parasailing and then Dora says, oh, my baby, I'll kill him.
Feels very in character.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Donahue too. He's a great comedic relief.
The actor, he plays some characters in the newer Jonathan Parks.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So he plays in Light in the Shadows. He's the villain. He's Mr. X in those. And then he does tons of other voices because he's amazing. So, yeah, when I heard that.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I got to work on some of those JPs, and it was super fun to, like, hear him in an Odyssey, too. I think he's in a couple of other episodes as well. I'm not positive. But so it's really fun. Obviously, there's a very long time gap in between those, and so he's a lot older now.
Yeah.
But still amazing voice actor. Super, super fun.
Another one I had was Hear Me, Hear Me, where we have, you know, Whit's cousin Evelyn that just talks a mile a minute.
Yeah.
We also have Eugene and Connie's contests about who's a better listener.
Yes.
That's so good.
The plot about, like, with Liz and Trent, that's probably, like, my least favorite part of the episode. It's not quite as funny as everything else. I think it works with, like, the message of the story, like, you know, listening to people and caring about what they say. It's kind of like three plots going at once, kind of. And it actually is Liz's last episode, so kind of sad with that. Yeah. But it's very funny. It's classic Eugene and Connie bickering. I know some people liked hearing that again, and some thought, like, well, it doesn't seem kind of out of character for them after so long, you know, Eugene being married. But I'm glad we got that again one more time before Will Ryan passed away with Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles, which they have a lot of, you know, that bickering in that episode. One episode I think it also is very underrated is Break a Leg. That's the episode where Shakespeare breaks his leg and Edwin has to do all the stuff by himself.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
And then he had that bike race with Cal and Alex. I listened to this episode maybe once. I think borrowed someone's cassette album of Danger Signals. And I think I listened to it the first time. I don't think I'd ever heard on the radio. And then years later, I bought the MP3 from Amazon for that episode. And I laughed so much listening to that. I had forgotten about some of the stuff. For some reason, this one line sticks in my head from the episode, and that's when Edwin gives that plaque to Shakespeare, and he says, "Made in Taiwan, not that, the other side." A lot of times when I see on something that says "Made in Taiwan," I hear Shakespeare's voice in my head. And then also, again, like, Edwin's just ineptitude. Like, he goes to open the door, and he runs into it, and Shakespeare's like, "The door opens in, sir." Like, I knew that.
We're going to have to listen to that one again.
Yeah.
And also, probably the funniest part at the beginning, he's complaining about Shakespeare in the Park. And then, you know, he was doing catching frisbees. And at one point, he was doing Hamlet, like, in rap, like, to be or not to be. And said, oh, it drew a crowd. He says, only because I threw my back out doing the hand gestures. It's just so, it's just so hilarious. And Earl Bowen's delivery on that is just perfect. It's such a funny episode, and it's an episode that it's all secondary characters. There's no main characters in it.
Yeah,
it's only Shakespeare, Edwin, Cal, Alex, and Crime Brian Dern, and it's hilarious. Great standout moments for those characters.
Yeah,
and I couldn't make this list without mentioning this episode. But Family Values is like the best Rathbone episode ever.
Yeah,
like it's one of the few episodes we get with all four of them or all three of them together, I guess. And it's just so funny. It contains one of the most quoted lines in our family, and that is, "Welcome to our humble commode." that line gets used quite a bit.
I love it.
And it's a really neat episode because the Rathbones, all of them are the main characters, which you don't get that often. Usually, like, they're like the antagonists. I mean, we get that one episode with Rodney narrating trying to catch that con artist. But this episode, you know, all three of them, like, they're the main characters. They're kind of the protagonists, but, you know, they're not good people. And right. Do I root for them? I don't want to root for them. It's kind of odd there, but it's a good episode. And, you know, like, really funny scenes, you know, with Bart trying to, like, connect with Rodney, and they wrestle, and, like, Rodney just, you know, like, whips the tar out of him.
Yeah.
Which I also like, Nick Grant did the same thing to Bart too. So yeah, a lot of people younger than Bart is able to beat him up. And also like, Bart trying to talk to Doris, you know, like about not having respect. Like, you go first. I feels better when you go first. That's another line that gets quoted quite a bit.
What's the Valentine's Day episode?
Yeah, that episode is on my list. Prequels of Love.
Yes.
It's fun hearing these backstories of these characters, you know, that we've heard for so long. And, you know, hearing how Whit proposed to Jenny, Chrissy Anthony gets to, you know, a lot of airtime as someone other than herself, as Maud. And, you know, Bernard is just a total loon. Like, he sounds like a loon and a cow and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad, like, they didn't get another actor to play, like, young Bernard. Like, you can hear him, like, kind of pitching his voice up a little bit. I'm not sure that just him, or like, the sound designer's pitching it higher. I'm not sure. Because Dave Madden is just perfect with that that stuff there. And it ties into that, because back in Between You and Me and album 39, when Connie and Mitch are talking, he talks about how he met Maud for the first time. And then we hear that story in this episode.
I love, like you were saying with Whit, I love seeing a little more flawed side of Whit once in a while. Like, oh, he is a real person and like messes up sometimes too, so it's fun to get to hear that in this episode. I love that part.
Yeah, and his story actually gets pushed aside quite a bit. Like, he gets two scenes to his story, and like all the others are like three or four scenes. But yeah, those are the other scenes that are more fun to hear. But yeah, and hearing how Bart and Doris got together,
it's so perfect.
So hilarious. I just thought of this one too. It probably would have been on my list. Is my favorite thing, where, you know, the Washingtons and the Rathbones are at the fancy dinner.
Yes.
Which is kind of like Aloha Oi is, where you have these two different families that just clash so much.
The whole lobster stuff.
Did you happen to hear my lobster scream when it came out of the tank? Yeah. And I had to say, the person, I think it was Diane Sue, because Pamela Hayden wasn't around to play Doris, so they had a different actress play her. Mm. And it sounds very, very similar. And
I didn't realize
that. I don't think it's distracting at all. She does a great job.
Yeah.
Another one on my list is one that you mentioned, Switch. Just that scenario, getting that scenario. Like, this would probably never happen in our family, but it's fun seeing happen with this family of, like, switching roles. And, like, again, kind of like, almost like that episode, Why Don't You Grow Up, where we see Erica in the Room of Consequence. Like, she wants to be an adult, and then she finds out it's not all that it's cracked up to be. You know, being an adult now, like, when I listened to this, I was probably maybe 14, maybe 13, something like that, when that first came out. A lot of years since then, I can kind of relate to, like, yeah, it's not all fun and games. You can't always get everything you want.
Yep.
So it's one of those episodes that, you know, gets better with age, and it's hilarious seeing the actors, you know, play different roles again, and giving Paul Hurlinger so many opportunities to do different voices.
Yes.
And one line with this episode, too, that gets quoted a lot, it happened today at supper, is the Girl Scout cookies. Really, really funny scene there. That's all the ones I had on my list. And I'm sure there's probably more that I'm not thinking of, but those are ones that I think consistently deliver on the laughs and are good episodes at the same time. Because you can have a good episode with a lot of laugh lines. You can have a really funny episode or an episode that tries to be funny, but just doesn't gel well or doesn't land on all the jokes. But a lot of these, I think, that we mentioned in our top five are ones that do it very well. So that was so much fun to do that list with you guys.
Yeah.
Some surprises on that list. A lot of fun to discuss it with y'all.
I have a new list of ones I have to go back and listen to again now.
Well, good. Hopefully the listeners will do that too.
Yeah.
And before we all go, I just want to say, if you all don't know, I forgot to mention this earlier, both Benjamin and Bethany are part of the Audio Drama Alliance, along with myself and a few other people that have been on the podcast too. Benjamin and Bethany have been involved in some projects there. And if you want to hear some of their work, go listen to the Audio Drama Alliance. And so, yeah, you've gotten to work on Jonathan Park, The Adventum. Yep. Am I missing any others?
No, I've done like some sound, like little bits of sound for people who have sound designed for some other ones. But I'm working on Michael LeFevre's audio drama right now. So that'll be out at some point. still working away on that, on the sound design and stuff. But that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Benjamin does great work. And other people have mentioned other great audio dramas besides Odyssey that you can listen to. And who knows who you might hear in the credits, or whose voice you might hear.
This is very true.
Small world.
Yep. And Bethany, she did the artwork for the Christmas special we had last year in the Audio Drama Alliance for Festive Food Fail, which is a really, really awesome summary of the story. And she's the voice track editor for the latest project for the Audio Drama Alliance, which by the time this comes out, I'm not sure if that will be out or not. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to jump into that project.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on Odyssey Geek. Yeah. And hopefully going to have you all back sometime.
Thanks for having us.
Sure. Thanks, Austin.
All right. Well, if you all enjoyed hearing our list of funniest episodes, if there are some that you agree with, disagree with, episodes that we did not even talk about, please let me know. You can email me at odysseygeek@gmail.com. You can also message me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In those places, you'll find me at Odyssey Geek. That's ODYSSEYGEEK. And if you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can find out when new episodes come out. And if you haven't yet, make sure to check the Odyssey Geek merch store. The link to that will be in the description. And like I always say, make sure to share this episode with some other Odyssey Geeks in your life. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you all again in the next one. See ya!